Good morning. June 24th, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's edition centers on a sharp split in the field, from new SAMHSA restrictions to a local syringe program move in Burlington, and a third straight year of declining opioid overdose deaths in Chicago and Cook County. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with the news, the National Association of Counties reports that SAMHSA has implemented new harm reduction restrictions in updated guidance. That contrasts with a separate national item from Filter, which highlights a SAMHSA guide for pharmacists prescribing buprenorphine that it describes as surprisingly supportive of harm reduction. Taken together, those two SAMHSA items point to mixed signals that may matter for providers and program operators. In Vermont, WCAX reports that Vermont Cares will take over Burlington's needle exchange and move the site to Bank Street. In Philadelphia, Philly Voice reports that Project Home has opened a new facility designed to bridge the gap between hospitalization and permanent housing for people in addiction. Another national development to watch comes from Behavioral Health Business, which reports on how state Medicaid uncertainties are reshaping the substance use disorder treatment environment. Over in the Social Pulse, one Blue Sky post from Jezebel Jones shares a reminder about a peer support group run by the poster and another dominatrix. The post says they lost someone in 2024 and are working to maintain a space that might help prevent that from happening again. It also says the group is not faith-based, not 12-step, and has no expectations. A couple of practical posts also stood out. One post on X from Secret Oddities says fentanyl test strips only show whether fentanyl is present, such as when it is mixed with other substances like cocaine, and do not measure concentration, purity, or safety. That is a useful reminder when people are relying on strips as just one tool, not a full safety check. Another X post from Advion Interchim points to a quick analysis method for fentanyl screening in urine using the Touch Express Open platform, framed as a response to demand from health practitioners and law enforcement. Shifting from tools to public messaging, one opposition post on X argues that addiction should have been addressed from the beginning through jail, treatment, or commitment for people who use drugs, and hard labor for dealers. This is best understood as an example of punitive opposition messaging in the broader discourse around substance use response. At the city level, Chicago says a joint Cook County and Chicago opioid report shows a third year of decline in opioid overdose deaths. Philadelphia also issued a public health update on June 23rd about emerging practices for managing medetomidine withdrawal in the outpatient setting. The Department of Public Health says that at hospital discharge, clonidine should be limited to a maximum outpatient dose of 0.3 milligrams three times daily, with follow-up within 2 to 5 days, and initial weekly clinic visits to monitor blood pressure and tapering. The update notes that medetomidine is nearly always detected with fentanyl, underscoring the need to address co-occurring opioid withdrawal and consider appropriate induction strategies. It describes two outpatient management strategies for co-occurring medetomidine and opioid withdrawal. One is a co-management approach with gradual methadone or buprenorphine induction. The other is a sequential approach with rapid buprenorphine stabilization followed by alpha-2 agonist management. Clinicians are advised to monitor blood pressure regularly, discuss current drug use non-judgmentally, and consider inpatient admission for very elevated blood pressure or inability to tolerate medications by mouth. For outpatient teams, the blood pressure follow-up window here is especially concrete. In research, one comparative review in Current Addiction Reports looks at integrated governance of the synthetic opioid crisis from a public health perspective in the United States and China. A study in Addiction Science and Clinical Practice examines staff perspectives on the early implementation of mobile medication units in New York State. That may be especially relevant for programs trying to expand access while managing operational constraints. And in Exploratory Research in Clinical and Social Pharmacy, a pilot evaluation looks at a pharmacist-led technical assistance program aimed at improving buprenorphine dispensing in community pharmacies. On the policy front, two federal actions stand out. A final rule temporarily places O-desmethyltramadol in Schedule 1. There is also a federal register correction related to the placement of bromazolam in Schedule 1. At the state level, Arizona has a newly signed law related to substance use disorder treatment committees. In Rhode Island, a newly signed law under the Uniform Controlled Substances Act is also on the list for today. And at the city level, Columbus, Ohio passed Ordinance 1670-2026, authorizing tobacco use prevention and cessation grant funding for the 2026 to 2027 program period. In funding, three current opportunities are flagged. The Health Resources and Services Administration has the Rural Communities Opioid Response Program, or RCORP, impact opportunity, with a deadline of July 8, 2026. HRSA also has RCORP planning, also due July 8, 2026. And the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration has Preventing Youth Overdose, Treatment, Recovery, Education, Awareness, and Training, with a deadline of July 16, 2026. The July 8th deadlines are coming up soon for rural applicants. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. Finally, in activism, the National Alliance to End Homelessness is sharing a call and email script urging Congress on homelessness funding. The National Homelessness Law Center is also asking supporters to donate to the Housing Not Handcuffs campaign. Those are both direct action items if housing and appropriations work are on your radar today. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.